So how'd you get, I mean, what did you do before you came to cannabis?
I was...
I feel like you have some professional background beyond just growing pot.
My degree was in finance, and I started off at Bloomberg in New York.
Okay.
I did a few different things there. I launched their Islamic banking platform. I, like, invented it, which was awesome.
So what role did you have in that?
There was nothing for Islamic-specific investors, which required a whole... I mean, it was basically a sin industry filter. You can't have anything with too much interest.
Uh-huh.
Not more than 10% of a company's interest. Obviously,
it's almost like an ethical investment fund, yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar to Catholic investments and a lot of other, like, you know, socially responsible...
And they're green investments, and so it's a socially responsible investment package.
And so I was there at Bloomberg, and the Bloomberg terminal is... I mean, it's like Google for financial stuff. From 20 years ago, it's still the most relevant, pertinent, whatever. It's got every piece of financial data about every equity, debt, you name it, in the world. And I was on a team, I was doing all the university recruiting that year. I was supposed to be going to London to be an energy and shipping man, but they, like, tracked every freighter ship in the world.
Right.
Which is awesome.
And they're like, oh, all this coal is going here, all this steel is going here, this much is going to be there next month, so, and then you can start speculating on commodities off that?
Yep, you could arbitrage back the light sweet spread between North Atlantic crude and West Texas Intermediate with the number of days it would take to ship there and the cost.
I got you.
It was crazy shit. But it would have taken a visa because I didn't have a Canadian citizenship at the time. They changed the law in 2009. I got it. So I was there in New York. The woman who was supposed to be transferring me to London, waiting for the visa stuff to go through, asked me to do the university recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all of the class of 2005 Bloomberg university recruiting nationwide.
So that's pretty cool.
Nuts.
So was that like traveling around meeting prospectives or just sitting in the office and looking at applications?
Both. I mean, I had... I think I averaged something like 150 interviews a week.
Wow.
It's
30 a day if you're not working weekends.
We do these interview events, which help with some of it. So we do you basically come in and do like a 3-minute interview with 4 people.
Right.
You know, sort of group setting up is open. You got a feel for who you wanted. Then I'd bring in 20 or so callbacks, whatever. But I worked with the CEO. I sat directly across from him. Nobody took over from Michael Bloomberg when he went to become mayor.
Nobody took over from him?
Well, Lex Fenech was the CEO's name. When Michael Bloomberg left and became mayor, Lex took over as CEO.
Okay.
Nobody in the company, though, has an office. It's like a trading floor environment for all.
So it's just an open room type thing? That's wild. That must be a huge room.
Oh, it was. We were on the same floor as the sales and Bloomberg TV. So, like, they had kitchens, huge kitchens with, like, free food all over any of the Bloomberg offices anyway. So, like, there's an afternoon CNN anchor now. We started out at Bloomberg TV. I actually trained her for a day in one of the departments. But you would just, like, hang out and, like, Dave Chappelle came in because the Charlie Rose show was filmed there.
Right, so he'd just be in the office and you'd just see
just come through because he was, like, coming into Charlie Rose.
It was totally open, so, yeah.
Which is awesome. So I worked and I sat facing the CEO. We were, like, 10 feet apart and there was nobody in between us because I worked with Lori, who reported directly to him. I just had this crazy direct reporting relationship. So I came up with the idea. I realized there was just a bunch of fund screeners and stuff that we needed. I photoshopped it all up, and I figured out, like, what the fund screeners would be to get the programmers. I pitched it at, like, 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night or whatever, and...
So you just walked up to the CEO of the company from your mid-level position?
Oh, I was as low as it comes.
Okay.
But I was friends with his assistant.
Okay.
Her name was Sumi. So I talked to Sumi. I was like, can I get 5 minutes with Alex? I've got an idea I want to pitch. It was pretty fun.
Okay.
And so I came up and pitched it. You got a call from the...
Was that not terrifying to do?
No, not at all.
Okay, you were ready? You knew it was a good idea?
It's just something... I'm a debater. I, like, slipped into that debate zone of, like, game time.
And yeah.
Treated him like anybody else that I was telling my idea to. 3 minutes in, he greenlit it. I didn't get more than 5 minutes standing next to him, just showing him the stuff. He's like, it's fucking brilliant. In exact words. Head of Asia Pacific called. Sales called. This guy's named Alec Bruce. And he's like... Alex, as soon as I hang up with you, you got to call this kid Matt Brown back. He's here in the New York office. I'm like, they were really connected offices. He's basically in Tokyo. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, he's calling me the next morning. I'm talking to the head of London EMEA sales. We had a prototype live in like 2 days, and that has sold over $500 million worth of terminal revenue.
Oh, dude.
Just that feature since...
I can see that. And how long ago was it?
2005. 4 or 5.
Almost
we sold, these terminals cost, assuming you have more than one, $1,650 a month on a 2-year minimum contract. Most banks would pick up like $100 a month. So I kind of got my start there. It was a cool flat company. I went to Accenture. So I didn't get transferred to London. I found out my boss was lying to me and had never put in my visa application. So I went to Accenture, spent 2.5 years there as a corporate strategy consultant. Cardinal Health is one of my big clients. They were the Fortune 19 company. They supply. You can literally pick up the phone and say, "Hi, I'm building a hospital." They'll go, "Oh, great, we'll send the person," and they will put an employee there and will deliver every single thing in there, from the biggest x-ray machine
in the building, pretty much, and they'll turn it into a hospital.
Yeah. They supply everything to every type of medical provider in the world. I got to reorganize there. This is actually where a lot of my early dispensary consulting came from, was I reorganized the sales team for their independent pharmacy sales.
Okay.
I created a spreadsheet that took industry metrics. So these sales reps who are particularly business people could go talk to mom-and-pop pharmacies, who are also not particularly business people, get a couple really simple metrics, and immediately tell that pharmacy how they compare to their peers, and it was a big way to start selling a lot of the automated systems and ordering a computer back end. But I got a really good feel for how these, you know, not Walgreens, but like real small independents work.
And that's, I think, really, at that level, pretty analogous to at least the old school dispensary, if not the modern rec one.
Yeah, I mean, for the, you know, the 2009, so I had that, I left Accenture to be, I had a tech startup, we failed to get our second round of funding in August 2008, and everything fell apart, and I did just small business consulting, whatever I could to stay afloat for a year, and then,
and where'd you go to school before all this?
Boston University.
Boston U, okay.
Magna Cum Laude, School of Finance, class of 2004. So I was here, I've been a patient since 2007, I had Crohn's disease.
When did you move out here?
August 2006.
Okay, so shortly after you got out here, pretty much you became a patient.
Within the first year. And I didn't know that we had a medical marijuana law when I moved
here. And back then, there wasn't much about it, no.
No, and it was, you know, when I got, it was Dr. Glazier. I don't know if you know her. She was the only doctor in the state that was taking patients. I've got my card, actually. It's up in the RV.
Your first one? Yeah.
Card number, like, 5,228. Back when they used to be just sequentially.
Right.
And I had a stack of paperwork this thick, and it was $250 for the doctor visit. But I got it. I started growing then for myself. The first 2 years, I grew by myself at home. I loved getting tours of my grow room to my friends and stuff. My roommates would have friends come visit. Because I had all the signs up, and I had the law on the wall. And it really became the foundation for my first tours of, before I'd take them in the room, I'd point at it, and I'd sort of chuckle and say, "I have Crohn's, you know that. Colorado's a cool place. It's a lot better than Massachusetts, much of that I'm working from. They let me grow pot as long as I follow the rules. These are the rules. They're pretty simple. It's not really that bad when you think about it. And then everything you get to see in this room, I get to do legally. I don't have to worry. But I'm going to go to jail. And even more, if you try to steal from me, I can call the cops, and they will arrest you and give me my weed back."
Yeah.
You'd all chuckle, and I'd take it. It was a tiny little room, one white. I did breeding. I had, like, eventually, like, all half my basement for my own breeding and stuff.
This is what, 2006 still? 2007?
2009.
Yeah, yeah.
Spring of 2009, I started doing a little bit of consulting. I just had a bunch of friends who were growing.
So before that, it was strictly, like, personal. You weren't in the industry.
Never sold.
You were a grower.
Right. Yeah. I sold weed one time as a grower, and it was when I was all done shutting down my room to, like, one of the Russian dispensaries. It was, like, February 2009.
When you could still backpack it in.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't buy whatever shit I come in with. But I grew for myself. I had, like, I think 8 different strains.
And your friends were growing out here?
A lot of friends were growing, and they, you know, they wanted me to tell them, do a warrant, teach them what the law was.
Right.
How to get the card, who to talk to, just that basics. And then what they quickly realized was they needed to be a business. And I mean, I incorporated my first business when I was 16.
Yeah.
I helped my buddy when I was 18 do a hostile takeover of his dad's construction company and put all the equity in his name here before his dad ended up dying. Like, I know business. It's the geeky thing I do. And so there was a ton of these growers who wanted somebody to teach them the basics. Even for a while, I would book appointments at Warren's office.
That's funny.
Book like a 4-hour block. And then just take client after client and have them each take an hour, and they would pay, and I would just sit there and listen. That's who we met. And then he moved in with me, a consultant. We shared an office.
Who's that? Warren.
Warren, yeah.